Today we're going to finish up our series called Detox. And I just simply titled this message, The 22nd Day. Because a lot of us have been doing the 21 days of prayer and fasting. Part of my, it sounds stupid, but it works for me. My fasting, we did some food and some other things and TV, and which was hard. The hardest thing I did all for 3 weeks was turn off the TV. That was rough. But the other thing I did is I took the morning shift, and I got here early and got the church ready and got it ready for people to come in to be ready for prayer from 6 to 8. And if you know me, have known me very long, I am not a morning person. I don't think when it says early in the morning Jesus rose, I think early was about 9 or 10. You know, I didn't even know until I got into college that there was a 6 a.m. I just thought there was one 6. We just skipped from midnight to 7 when I got up to go to high school. But the world thinks differently, doesn't it? Amen. Emma's been getting up at 6:30 every morning since the day she was born. On the dot every day. And so morning time is not my favorite time. So we've been going through these 21 days, and I got to thinking, what do we do on the 22nd day? If you've participated, and if you didn't participate, I encourage you, when we do this again next year, participate. Find a way to be involved. Some of you did it online. Some of you did it as you were going back and forth to work. Some of you came in the morning and at night. So the question became, how do we continue this? What do we do to make sure that there's a change in us? What do we do to make sure that that God, what he puts in our spirit and our souls and our bodies, which we talked about in the last couple of weeks. And then Cam last week, if you missed his message last week, go online and get it. It was a tremendous message. I told him afterwards that was probably one of his best. But he talked about what it means to be a fan versus a follower, that God doesn't need fans. The Falcons need fans. The Patriots, God help them, need some fans. But God doesn't need a fan. Jesus doesn't need a fan. He needs somebody who's a follower. Amen. He doesn't have a bandwagon, so you can't jump on it. The Bible says it's either black or white. You're either in or you're out. And Cam, just go get the message. So that was the beginning of how do we continue this. His point was, how do we begin to be a follower and not a fan? Well, I'm going to give you 5 things today. I'm going to be teachy today. I'm going to give you 5 practical things that you can do on the 22nd day and throughout the rest of the year. And if you'll do these things, I've said this before and I'll say it again still as we end out January. If you'll just give us a year, if you're visiting with us, it's an honor to have you here. And if you feel like this is your home, we'd be glad to have you here. But for those of us who are here and maybe you're not fully engaged, give me a year. 1 year and fully engage. Do everything that we offer, let God be a part of it, and jump in. And if at the end of the year, if your life is not markedly better, you and I both will go find another church because we're wasting our time if we're not changing. So I want to give you 5 things that will help you change and will help us succeed as we come out of 21 days of prayer. If you will, turn with me in 1 Thessalonians 5. This is out of the new, the Living Bible translation. I just like the way this was reading. Well, I'll get it out in a minute. It says, may the God of peace himself make you entirely pure and devoted. Say that with me. Pure and what? Let's try it again. Pure and devoted. Y'all are slow this morning. Pure and devoted. Pure and devoted to God to make your spirit, soul, and body and be kept strong and blameless until that day when our Lord Jesus Christ comes back for us. So how does this 1 Thessalonians 5, how does this happen? How are we kept pure and devoted? Is it self-effort? Can you keep yourself holy? Well, as you probably found out during, if you did 21 days with us and you fasted at all, it's awful hard. Because you take away cheeseburgers and chocolate and the sweeter, finer things in life, and your body will revolt. And there is nothing pure or holy about my attitude. I remember one time, one of the things we did part of the time was Mel and I were skipping lunch, and we just decided, listen, we'll just skip lunch, and we were just doing like some nut and fruits. And we're looking at each other like we hated each other. Like, I'm eating nuts, and I want some lunch. I need something substantial. There's nothing pure and holy about it when your body flares up on you. So I'm going to give what I'm calling our daily five. Five things that if you'll just do this daily, and this, I'm not marking out this huge, long checklist of things you got to do that's complicated. Five simple things. And you can take your message notes and keep those and just begin to walk through these, and we're going to begin to create some habits. And that's how we'll be strong and blameless. It'll give us something to shoot for, something to aim for. The Bible says in Proverbs 17, 24, that an intelligent person aims at wise action. A fool starts off in many directions. An intelligent person aims at what they want to hit. Deer season just went out, and some of you guys are now in mourning because you've got to wait until next fall to begin to go back to hunting again. But how silly would it be for you to hunt like this? The deer's over here, but I'm aiming. It's just foolish. Yeah, a lot of us live our lives that way. I'm going to change. Pastor, I'm going to change. You know, I'm got it this year. 2017 is my year. I'm going to change. Okay, what are you going to do for? I'm going to aim to read my Bible every day. Okay, ready, aim. Well, you got to look at the Bible. I'm aiming. But you're not looking at the Bible. Oh, I'm looking. I'm aiming, but I'm watching my TV over here while I'm aiming. Oh, okay, well, shoot it. You're never going to hit it. Never. So five actions, five things that you can aim for. Give us something to shoot for. And let me tell you, in these things, this is not in your notes, this is extra. In these five things, you have to do this. You have to be intentional, practical, consistent, and then you have to be wise. And wise means expect results. Intentional, practical, consistent, and expect results. Some of us pray and do what I call the one-eye prayer. We pray like this, like God just might answer me. And you're kind of watching to see if anything happens. Pray. The Bible says do it with expectation that he is who he says he is, that his word is yes and amen, which means so be it. It's going to happen. That's the way we operate when we go through these five daily activities. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33 that if you seek first the kingdom of God, he'll do what? He'll add everything unto us. He'll give us the things we need. But being first, again, makes these things daily. Seeking first has to be every day and not an occasional. This is not a box you check once a month and I'm good for the month of February. This is not a box that we come, some of us, and there are people, a lot of Christians that say they're Christians do this. They come to church on Easter and they check the box. I'm done for the year. That's not what we're talking about here. So the first one is acknowledge and thank God. Acknowledge he's there. Acknowledge him for his goodness and then thank him for it. If you look up the definition of acknowledge, it actually means to verbally recognize authority. One of the things I'm trying to get back in the habit of doing, and it's hard because I got out of it, is I used to get up in the morning and my feet hit the floor, and before I moved, before I got out of bed, you know, before I got the eye boogers out and the drool off my face, before I did any of that, I just said, "Good morning, Daddy." And then I would go about my day. And it was just kind of my way of acknowledging, God, you're there, you're with me, now let's go do this. Just simply, good morning, Father. See, I think acknowledging and recognizing authority has got to be that. You're acknowledging who God is. You're thanking him. You're showing your gratitude. The Bible says in Psalm, David writes this in Psalm 145, 1 through 3, and it says, I will exalt you, my God and King, and praise your name forever and ever. I will praise you every day. Yes, I'll praise your name forever. Great is the Lord. He's most worthy of praise. No one can measure up to his greatness. I will praise you every day, God. Now, you need to understand this. You cannot do forever without every day. Forever never happens unless you start every day. Right? Yeah, that's deep. That's a Twitter quote right there for you guys. Y'all can tweet that. Forever never happens without every day. Because you can't get there. And I've realized that in my life, that it's not necessarily about volume of prayer volume of what I do, but that I'm doing it every day. Because you can't get there. You can't finish a race you never started. You can't compete in something that you never entered in, and you have to start. And you have to start. This one's not in your notes, but the Bible says, and Paul writes in Ephesians 5:20, give thanks for everything to God our Father in the name of our Lord Jesus. Now let me tell you how easy this is. How many of you have radios in your car that work? And you don't have to hang your head out the window to hold the antenna to get it. How many of you have smartphones that play music? A lot more of you. How many of you have anything that plays any music whatsoever? Most of us. If that's the case, then you can get some worship music. If you don't have some, we will get you some. If you want to acknowledge and thank God, then the easiest way I can tell you to do it is when you get in the car, go to work in the morning, reach down. If you have to, just go to the Christian station, find the Christian station. If you can stream music on your phone, do that. If you want to stream music, we can actually give you the link to our Spotify list, which for you who don't know, that's an online music service. And you can stream our list right from us. The list that we play before church, the list of our prayers that we run during prayer time, you can stream it. And just begin to thank God. Whether you're the guy that's riding down the road with your hands waving in the air and thanking God and waving and talking, or you're just driving and it's just you're just saying good morning, Daddy. Some of the craziest times I've had with God have not happened here, pacing the floor and laying my face on the altar. It's happened riding down the road in my truck when a simple song comes on the radio. And I just, it's like, whew, God's there. You ever had one of those moments? It's like, oh. I had this moment one time. I remember I was praying for Emma and Mabel, and it's been a while back. And I remember, like, I got to pull over here. Like, okay, God, what do you want? Like, you're messing with me. It's just simply acknowledge and say thank you. The second one, and this one surprises me because it's hard for a lot of people to do. I don't want you to raise your hand, but when I give you the second one, in your mind, mentally raise your hand and just go, yeah, that's hard for me. And the second one is talk to God. Some of you are raising your hands now. And I think that is because we have an improper view of who Daddy is. And that may be affected by your earthly father, or lack of an earthly father, the experiences you've had with other elders who should be treating you in a fatherly manner but don't, that our perspective of God is the what I call the Mr. Miyagi theology. And remember Mr. Miyagi from Karate Kid? He said when he was like, you got to get in or get out, or you get squished like grape. Remember? If you're in the middle, you get squished like grape. And I think a lot of us think God is that way. Like we're walking the line, we're doing good, we're reading our Bible, we're tithing, we're coming to church every Sunday. I've been for 6 months straight, not missed a Sunday. I went to all 21 days of prayer. And then on that 22nd day, you kind of just veer off a little bit. And like God suddenly is going to go, well, I'm done with him. Mason was doing great, and then he stepped over a little bit, and now he's done. That's not God. The Bible says that God's mercies are new every morning. That's part of the reason I sat up in the morning and put my feet down and went, good morning, Daddy. Because I knew no matter what I went to bed thinking, doing, or saying, God's mercy and grace was there when my feet hit the floor the next morning. Talk to God. For those of you who like the King James Bible, let me very gently say this. God does not speak King James English. You got me? A lot of us, and I have friends that I pick at and make fun of, and you know, we're sit down to lunch, and okay, and they always look at the preacher like, okay, bless the lunch. I'm like, no. Y'all say you're Christians, one of y'all bless. I'll pray for mine, and I'm ignoring y'all's. And I just, and they'll pray, oh, our Heavenly Father. I was like, you're a redneck from South Georgia. You don't pray that way. You don't talk that way. Talk to God like you would talk to your parents, a family member, a friend, a close friend. Say good morning, afternoon. How you doing, God? Sup? It works. Talk to God. Don't have this big theological discussion. He knows his word. You don't have to convince him. You don't have to argue with him. You don't have to change who you are. He created you just the way you are. So talk to him. We need to overcome this perception of who God is. You know, when I was in college, I worked for a company, a networking company, and we installed computer networks all over this huge plant. And after a couple summers, I got to be a crew leader. And one summer, this guy came in, and I was in my early 20s. He was probably 40, 45, and he was a burly-looking dude, scary. And when the human resource guy came in, and we'll just say, this is Jimmy, and he said, now Jimmy's going to be on your team. And I said, okay, nice to meet you. Let's go to work. And then when we started to walk away, the HR guy calls him back and says, now, just so you know, he's a little gruff. Matter of fact, he's kind of mean and nasty. But he knows what he's doing, so you can use him. But just understand, he's not very sociable. And I'm like, well, like, is he just going to go crazy on me? I mean, why are you warning me? You've never done that before. So I said, okay. So we went about our job. And for several weeks, it was just we'd work and he'd work over here. Jimmy, he never was part of really our team. And so one day we were working in a small room and we had to work in close quarters. And we were working right beside each other doing some wiring. And just if you know me, I just couldn't take the silence. I'm like, this is too quiet. So I struck up a conversation with him. And he kind of looked at me like, you're talking to me? And I didn't know if it was like, you're talking to me? Or the like, wow, you're talking to me. And suddenly we had this conversation and I realized I had been misinformed. And this burly, scary looking guy was a great guy. And I wasted 3 or 4 weeks because I acted and spoke to him based on a perception that was not true. God's perception, our perception of God, is not this big, mean figure. The Bible says that he actually holds us and hugs us. And I mean, it's an intimate description, not a big, scary one. So talk to God. The Bible says in Psalms 68:19 that praise be the Lord our God, who daily bears our burdens. He wants to hear about it. Amen. Now, he wants you to listen too, but he wants to hear about it. He wants to know. So let me knock out another one while we're at it. And that is, talking to God has to be spontaneous. Somebody told me this. I just can't talk to God because I'm waiting, because it has to be spontaneous when the Spirit of God and me and the Spirit of God connect and they get all theological and we can't talk to God. And I just stopped and I was like, whoa, 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 stop. The Bible says very clearly several times over that God created, he spoke, and what was in disorder became order. That the Bible says that everything is to be done decently and in order. So you're telling me you can't plan with God? Bull. So when you talk to God, here's what you need to do. And these are your next little sub-blank points here. Set a time. I one of the things I pick at Wesley about in the office, I was like, you have a smartphone. Yes. Those smartphones are called smartphones for a reason, because they're smarter than us. You push the button. Watch. Set an appointment for 5 o'clock today, please.
Okay, I can create your meeting. Note that you already have an appointment at 4 p.m. Shall I schedule it anyway?
No, thank you.
To continue, you can confirm, cancel, change the time, or change the title.
See how easy that is? I have mine in Australian because the American just bothers me. Set a time. Find your time. As I said a minute ago, my time is not in the morning. I acknowledge God. My feet hit the floor. Good morning, Daddy. And my time for God is before I go to bed. As I'm laying in bed and settling for the night, that's my time to talk to God, have a conversation with him, read my Bible. That's my time. Find your time. And if you have to, set an appointment. Your phone will remind you. She does not care whether you're scheduling an appointment for a doctor or for your Lord and Savior. It works both ways. It works. Schedule an appointment. The second thing is set a place. The Bible says in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, that very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to where? A solitary place where he did what? He prayed. Most people think that when Jesus was captured and taken in the Garden of Gethsemane, that that's the only time he was there. That's not true. If you actually look at it, the Bible says that's where he went to pray. I believe he went to pray there because if you look at the geography of the time, of the area, he could overlook the city. And he went there to pray over you, to pray over me, to pray for the Bible. Jesus said, listen, God, you gave me, Daddy, you gave me these sheep, and I'm praying for them. So set a time, set a place, and here's the third thing. This idea that we have to be spontaneous and you can't really have an understanding or direction. Have a plan. Know what you want to talk about. Your prayers are somehow not negated because you take notes. I've done that before. There's some things I need to pray about. And I just make a couple notes. And I begin to pray about them. You say, well, Clint, well, God doesn't work that way. He does. Remember what the Bible says in Luke chapter 11, verse 2? Jesus said, this is how you should pray. Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come. May your will be done as earth. And he gives us a prayer. As a matter of fact, if you didn't get your 2017 prayer journal, there's still some out in the foyer at the blue desk. In the back of that, it actually has the roadmap for prayer according to the Lord's Prayer. See, I think we've misinterpreted. Jesus didn't give that to them to say, this is how you have to pray every time you say it. What he was doing was giving them a roadmap to pray. When you start out, you acknowledge God. God, you're holy. God, you're righteous. And may your kingdom come. May what you want to happen, what's happened in heaven, may it happen in my life. Right? Have a plan. Set a time. Set a place. Have a plan. If you want to see it more, get you a journalist, the orange booklet out there in the foyer. And the third one. Read and submit. Read and submit to God's word. It's not just enough to read it. Matter of fact, I will say this, and some may argue with this, but I'll show you theologically. It's not just enough to read it and know it. If it were, then the devil couldn't do it because the devil knows the word. Remember, the devil took Jesus up on the mountains and began to quote back to him the scripture. He was misusing it. He was putting falsehood in it. He was making it not what it was to say. But the devil knows the word. So you read it and submit. Joshua 1:8, Joshua writes, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night. This is what I'm telling you. It's not about volume. For those of you who would say to me, Clint, I can't do it. I can't read the Bible every day. Well, let me open up my life to you and tell you, your pastor is doing the 1-year Bible where you read a little bit every day. Right? I'm on July of 2016. So do the math. Because I use it to track it because I just want to say I've been able to look and I've read through the Bible. Some nights I'll read a psalm and a proverb. Some nights I read just the Old Testament. Some nights I just read, but I just check it off. It's not about necessarily the volume, but I believe as you do more and get hungry for more, you'll read more. Do something. I would rather you spend 10 minutes with God with a plan, a set time, and putting effort into it than you come in here once a month and lay on your face and pray for an hour. It would do you much better to read, get the word in you, and then the Bible says that we're to submit to it. And see, this is where even I struggle. One of the hardest things we have to do is to have a submissive response to the word. Submissive response means I think differently, but I'm going with what you say. Submissive response is an understanding of who's in charge and what your authority is. I believe this wholeheartedly as a pastor. This church is based on this idea of authority and being submitted. We have a board of our elders or trustees that oversee the financial operations of the church. I have overseers who are responsible for my life, and I am submitted to their authority. And let me tell you how you know when submission in your life to authority is real. And it will come for all of us. Students, it will come when your mom, your dad, your teacher, your professor, somebody over you that's giving you biblical wisdom, not anything that's crazy and unbiblical, but when you think differently and they say, for instance, I want to go left. No, Clint, you need to go right. I know, but my heart tells me, my spirit tells me I need to go left. No, Clint, you need to go right. And I would look at this. I'll give you an example. Justin Grace, who's one of my overseers, most of you have met, hopefully will be back with us in May, that I've said, Justin, but I need to go this way. I feel this way. No, I'm telling you, Clint, you need to go right. And you'll know authority is, you're submitted to authority in your life. You're submitted to the word of God when you go, I still think I need to go left, but God, I'm going right. When you can look that person, you look God in the face, and God, this is what I feel, but this is what your word tells me. This is what I feel, that my daughter's still sick. Mabel asked me the other day, she's had a cough, and she said, Daddy, why hasn't God taken the cough away yet? You've prayed. Yeah, you want to get theological real quick? When your 8-year-old asks you, you've prayed every night for my cough to go away. Why hadn't he done it yet? Yeah, I walked out to Melanie and was like, she just asked me why God. And I just told her, I said, honey, I don't know. But what I say and what God says, God always wins. And we need to believe him. So let's submit yourself, submit your word, submit our bodies and our lives to God. Respond to the word. Now, the Bible says in Psalm 1:3, blessed is the one who does not walk in the step with the wicked, or stand in the way that's of sinners, or stand in the company of sinners and mockers. But those who delight in the law of the Lord and who meditate on his law day and night, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water. And look what happens. This is what happens when you submit, because if you go to the beach and have your kids, or you know, bury you up to your knees, you have now submitted. And you better trust your family and friends, because they have you where they want you. They can do what. I watched the guy one time at the beach, and he had his kids, and he had some teenage kids, and this man sat down, and they buried him up to his chest. He was like this. And I was like, I hope you trust your kids, and we're going to tell if your kids are respectful and well-trained, because they have got you. And those kids proceeded to torture that man. Like, they're poking him and laughing at him. You're submitted. See, here's what happens when you do that with God. When you're planted, if you don't have a home, find a home. There are a lot of great churches in our community. I happen to think we have a pretty good one. If you want to come, jump on the growth track next week, come to step one, plant yourself. Like I said, give me a year and watch God do crazy good things in your life. But here's what happens when you plant yourself. When you plant yourself, the Bible tells us that you yield fruit in season. When your time comes to yield fruit and for God to bring things out of you and to bless you, he will. And then it says, listen, I love this last little line, that whatever they do, what? Prospers. I would submit to you, if you look at your life and say, God, I surge forward and then I fall back, and I surge forward in life. My finances, they surge forward and then they fall back. Something breaks. My marriage goes forward and then comes back. I would submit to you that if we really examined your life, you're not planted. You're not planted in the church family, and you're not reading, and you're not submitting yourself to the word of God. Do these things daily. And the Bible says that I'll make you fruitful, and everything you do will prosper. Here's the other reason you plant yourself. You were never created to do life on your own. God did not design you, no matter what your ego, and I know that for a lot of us, including myself, there's a lot of egos in the room, some big egos, and we think we can do it on our own. No matter what your life or your mind, your body tells you, you cannot do it alone. The Bible says it over and over and talks about family and being part of the body of Christ and planting yourself and letting somebody else speak into your lives. You were never created to be alone. God designed us for relationships with him and with his people. You need both. You need both in your life, no matter what your body tells you. Number four, talking about relationships. You need to put effort into relationships. Put effort first in your relationship with God. Good morning, Daddy. I go through the day and I'll ask God a question. I'm doing one about working, whatever is going on in the day, and I'll ask God, hey, I don't get this. Or hey, thank you for this. You know, just you're talking, you're having a conversation, but put some effort into it. Because these relationships require effort. The Bible says in Hebrews 3:13, first I want to give you this first part in the NIV. It says, but encourage each other, encourage one another. When? Once a week? Once a month? Just every 6 months or every time you happen to pass by their house and we honk and wave? No, daily. And look what the same verse out of the Message Bible reads. Make sure there is no evil, unbelief just lying around that will trip you and throw you off course, diverting you from the living God. For as long as it's still God's today, notice that's possessive, it's his day, not ours, keep each other on your toes so that sin doesn't slow down your reflexes. Because the devil wants nothing more than to slow you down, slow your reflexes down from you acknowledging God, from you acknowledging that God is trying to warn you and trying to stop, hey, don't go that way, go this way. You know, I saw a video the other day. It was on the news of a tractor trailer coming across the railroad tracks. And the arm, I don't know if you saw it, but the arms failed, the warning arms. And this FedEx truck that had two trailers behind it went through across the tracks. And about the time the truck cleared the tracks, a train sawed the back of it in half. Just zoom, flying by. And they found out that the arms weren't working. See, we're so used to, the devil gets us in this place where we're just so complacent and we don't expect that there is a devil who wants to hurt you, who wants to take you out, who wants to desensitize you to the world. And I have to imagine, I don't know the driver, I don't know if he was a Christian, I don't know, but I have to imagine there was a Holy Spirit inside of him going, stop, stop, don't go. There's a train coming, but the arms aren't down. Who are you submitting to? Stop, don't go that way, or go that way, go faster, whatever it may be. That we put in effort into our relationships, because when you do, you listen, and they become comfortable. Now, the saying that in 2 weeks on February the 12th, we'll start grow groups. And if I'm just going to be honest with you. Can I be honest, or do you want me to lie to you? Y'all had to think about it? I think last semester of groups, bless you guys come up. The last semester of groups, I think we slacked off a little bit. And it's my fault. I let other things get in front, and as leading them and helping group leaders and getting people organized, I think I kind of dropped the ball. So we have a focus. I just have a new focus for this group of grow groups that will start on February the 12th that week. And I want to encourage you. You don't have to be a member here to be in a group. Matter of fact, a lot of our groups, they draw people from the outside with the intention of drawing them on in to take the one step and come on in. But I want to ask you, get in a group. Find a group. If you don't find one that you like and it's not at the time that you like and you got something else going on, then get with those people and start a group. The group is not about why you gather. The group is about that Christians are gathering together to put effort into relationships with each other and with God. And these things have to be, we meet groups weekly, but you need daily contact with people, daily contact with the Father, and daily contact with his people. Now, the last one. You read and submit, but before some of us can read and submit, some of us need to do this, and that is surrender. Surrender your life. Surrender my life. Paul writes something, an interesting phrase. I'm just going to give you one little phrase of the scripture. But Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, I want you to focus just on the first line there. It says, I face death every day. And Paul probably did face somebody trying to kill him every day, but that's not what he was necessarily talking about. He says, listen, every day I surrender. Every day I give my life again to the cross. Every day I remind myself that I'm submitted to God. Every day I remind myself that today I'm going to do what He wants, no matter what I want to do. The Bible says in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, a lot of us quote this scripture over and over, and it makes us feel good and religious. But look what it says. It says, then He said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciples must do what? Make it not about you. Make it not about the things that you want. And you may honestly have needs, and you may honestly have desires. But I've said this before. For those of us who know Christ, it's no longer about you. It's about Him and them. You got me? It's no longer about me. I'm saved, set free, love my Savior. Now I have to walk my path, do my five things every day, stay close to God, talk to Him. But now the Bible says that my life's daily surrendered is now about taking Him and connecting Him with them. Right? Get them in groups. Get them here with you. Get family members. Because when we do that, we do our part to get people where they can meet God. God always shows up. Daily surrender. Daily surrender. Now for just a second, if you will, we got just a few minutes and I'm going to get you out of here early today. If you'll bow your head and close your eyes. And I'm going to offer, like we do every week, and pray with you for those who just need to start fresh with God and meet Jesus maybe for the first time. But I want you right now, and I mean right now, not later, I want you to just ask God. And if I hear you ask Him, or you just do it quietly to yourself, it doesn't matter. He hears you either way. Ask God to help you do these daily five. Ask God to help you do these things every day. Every day. Every day that I acknowledge God, thank Him, that I talk to you every day. I'm intentional about what I do. I set a place, a time, I have a plan. God, I'm reading Your word and submitting to it. God, I'm putting effort into it all day. And God, above all, I surrender. The song that we sang today was perfectly timed, and Wesley had no clue what my message was about. God, I surrender all. I'm done trying. Some of you just need to do that today. You've been serving God for a long time, and you just need to surrender. For the rest of some of us, maybe you just need to start fresh. You've been in church and you got away, or maybe you just, this, all this God thing, this Jesus being saved is all new to you. The Bible says it's very easy. The Bible says that you simply confess Him as your Lord and Savior. You believe it in your heart, you confess it in your mouth that He is Lord, and you start from there. So before I pray for those who are contemplating and asking God to help them with the daily five, if that's you this morning, if you'd say, Clint, I need to be included in that prayer today, I need to repent and start over, or I just need to meet Jesus for the first time. If that's you today, I don't ever want to let anybody leave without offering that chance. So if that's you today, just wave at me. I'm not going to embarrass you. You can. It's just right there with you and God. I just want to pray with you. All right, there's a couple hands. This is you right there getting serious with God. And I'll pray with the rest of us in just a minute. Let's all pray this together with those who raise your hands. Say, Lord Jesus, today I receive You as my Lord and my Savior. I confess it with my mouth and I believe it in my heart that You saved me by dying on the cross for me. I receive Your grace and Your mercy. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I was a little inspired last week by Cam. I told him, I said, man, you do things the way you do them, the way God leads you, and I just do them a little different. I said, but we're preaching the Bible, so it really doesn't matter. So I want to challenge you today. 22nd day, as we head off into 2017. I'm not asking for perfection. I'm not asking to be right every time and you got to be Johnny on the spot. But today I want to ask you if you can in your heart say, Clint, I'm going to do my best and I'm going to commit to do my daily five. Then I'm serious. If you don't stand up, there's nothing. I say, though, you're just not, that's not where you are yet. You're growing. We love you anyway. But if you're there, I'm going to count to five. And if you're going to start with us doing these daily five, then I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. When I count to five, one, you're going to start with us. Two, you're going to do all of them. Three, four,